Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Dick Butkus. I'm your host, founder, editor, and and second most popular Irwin on the Twitter sphere, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, a man of means by no means, oh my, Ben Cohn. A man who's trying to become a smaller, shadier, and more comedic clone of me, Connor Dillon. He's already snuck into the grandma's Corbell, Dan Galvan. A man who took my Twitter handle for 3 hours and destroyed everything I've worked for in my life, Earl Montclair. On post-Christmas break from his job as the Abominable Snowman, Josh Hall. Live from the roaring technology that is his Nokia brick phone as he's playing Snake, point proven, Nolan Howell. And lastly, live from a Saskatchewan dirt farm, PC Engel. Dateline Las Vegas, Nevada, fellows. UFC 168 in the books. Let's get right to it. Who wins your Golden Family Disrespect Award? And who, unfortunately, has landed the one, the only, the hated, the outlawed in Russia, Golden Poop? Ben? That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Ben.
Connor?
Ben's dumb. I'm going to go ahead and say the Golden Family Disrespect. To me, it has to go to Ronda Rousey. I know you're going to hate me for it. The big reason why is because, God, Tate's horrible game plan was just setting her up for some beautiful sweeps, takedowns, trips, and throws. And it just really shows how far advanced she is above Tate. And potentially any challengers. And I'm really interested to see her fight against McMahon, because McMahon has the silver at the Olympics in freestyle women's, so hopefully she'll be more used to lower limb trips and throws and stuff. My Golden Poop, I want to throw that at... It's not anyone's fault, but I want to throw this at... Silva's broken leg, because...
Hasn't it been through enough?
Well,
yeah, it probably has stitches. If you throw poop in it, you're...
That's gangrenous.
It just made me really sad, and, I mean, honestly, I thought Weidman was gonna win, but the fact that it ended like that has left a lot of people, with a sour taste, so I'm a little sad about that, and... So that's the Golden Poop there.
Brent Weidman.
I, too, thought Weidman was going to win the Bellator Welterweight Championship.
Exactly.
Dan?
My Golden Family Disrespect would have to go to... I like to be the guy that like goes under the radar, picks the fight nobody's talking about. So Chris Weidman to me... No, I'm joking. William Macario on the Facebook prelims. Let's talk about William Macario, because I'll be the only one that talks about him.
Let's talk about his hair.
His Melvin Gillard-esque
How hair. He borrowed it from Kevin Randleman in 1997.
Oh, jeez. But what he didn't borrow was his striking skills, man.
Simon Phoenix.
When he went,
oh, wow.
His stand-up...
Cisco looked, from his Drew Hill days. All right. I'm done.
His stand-up looked... absolutely dynamic, and I knew he had good stand-up, but against Bobby Volker, it was really at another level. It was impressive because he lost his UFC debut. I kind of wrote him off, and his stand-up was really impressive. You know, he was really good at not only connecting whenever they initiated the exchanges, but when he got out of them, very accurate with the strikes, very economical with the strikes, and Macario really impressed me as a welterweight on the rise. It'll be interesting to see him in his next fight. My Golden Poop, I have, for some reason, my body is telling me to give it to Cody McKenzie once again, but I won't. My Golden Poop, I tell you what, and this is something that I kind of felt like was going to happen, and it's the reaction. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the, I guess, cynical reaction to the Anderson Silva leg break. We've seen, you know, Time Magazine, Tim Brando, and others criticize the UFC for being barbaric and whatnot. And when I see these hot sports takes, what goes off in my mind is the bullshit radar, because it's when you see things like that, these aren't things that are well thought out, and these aren't things that are unbiased. These are things that are said for hits, and these are things that are said without real information. And it's kind of disheartening to see it because these people have large voices, and they aren't really taking responsibility to, I guess, think before they speak. But with Twitter, you know, that limits the that. And what I would like to say is there are some people that like to think that we are lying to ourselves, that we aren't watching a brutal sport, that we're watching skill level, that we are like, I guess you could say, barbarians watching a barbaric sport. And that's stupid. I think we're all aware of how brutal this sport is, and we appreciate for what it is, for what it is. And to think, and it's just hot sports take, and I'm tired of hot sports take. I'm tired of this hot sports take culture.
Thank God broken legs never happened in any other sport, like, say, the Final Four or the NCAA College Football Championship, Willis McGahee, or Monday Night Football, Joe Theismann. Thank God, MMA is the only sport where leg injuries can happen.
The only time Lawrence Taylor's ever been scared, like, visibly. Oh,
his eyes were like dinner plates. Earl.
Well, I'm going to give a little bit of credit to the thing that made my life the happiest before Anderson Silva's leg made my life the saddest. And I'm going to give my golden family disrespect to the hashtag UFC fart. Because I was in the middle of a tweet while I was ruining your Twitter, and I thought, that sounded like two very crisp, legit farts right there. And it turned out to be exactly that. So, Sierra Baja Desert, Bob, Connor Dillon. Sierra Baja Desertada, you get my golden family disrespect for unleashing the UFC fart on the world and giving me something to be so happy about. And my golden poop is going to go to, I hate to like tackle like, really serious, like serious-ish things after Dan and Connor kind of just did too, but I'd like to give my golden poop to the UFC hype machine for forcing themselves to tell me how beautiful Misha and Ronda are in the whole hype to that fight. I don't care in this aspect because I'm there to watch them kick the shit out of each other. I don't care how pretty they are. I don't care how nice they clean up. I don't care what nightclub they're going to go look at amazing at afterwards. So unless Joe Rogan is going to sit there and tell me how phenomenally skilled and breathtakingly handsome Dominic Cruz is in the lead up to his next fight, I don't give a shit how pretty Misha and Ronda are. So that's my golden poop.
It's kind of productive because you're seeing them at their, you know, at their absolute, you know, if I may, ugliest. They just spent 15 minutes just, you know, punching another person in the face. Like, they're not going to look pretty, you know, when they're done with everything. So what the hell's the point? It's, you know, you want to, you know, press looks when it's a fashion show or something like that. But like I said, you're seeing people at their damned ugliest. Pointless. Hot sports take coming in.
And
Josh.
Alright, golden, what is it, Luke?
Family disrespect.
Golden family disrespect. I have to give it to Chris Weidman, who is being called a fluke by a lot of people right now, and that absolutely disgusts me. I won't get into it too far because I did.
Josh will have a piece up late tonight or early tomorrow about this very thing.
But it's just, he used a specific technique to check the kick. Silva made a mistake by not opening his hips properly when he threw the kick, so he landed with the wrong part of the bone, and his leg snapped. But if Weidman doesn't do everything exactly right there, it doesn't happen, and he was dominating the fight up to that point. He fought Anderson Silva twice and was never in trouble. That's incredible. So he has to get it. And golden poop. Well, I can't believe you guys saved Diego Brandão for me, but thank you. He shows up at 153. According to Poirier, he threatened to slit his throat backstage before the weigh-ins, which was why they had the altercation on stage. Then Poirier tells him, "I'm going to break you and you know it," and then proceeds to break him with body shots. So, attaboy, Brandão. Way to make a good showing and really show the sport looking really good by disrespecting it by missing weight by a mile.
than threatening to stab someone in the neck. I mean, Diego fell.
It's real proper.
He actually might have passed up Rory McDonald from quickest guy I really like to, oh my God, get away from me, dude.
And the thing is, I mean, the guy's really entertaining to watch, but, I mean, his behavior, it's really despicable at this point.
My golden family disrespect goes to, this is way off the board, and I'm trying to be, you know, alternative guy. But Twitter. This was the most enjoyable time I've had on Twitter watching a fight. I was, you know, kidding around a lot about Earl, but Earl really did a fantastic job tweeting at the undercard account. Really just did a bang-up, awesome, consistent job, and... besides that, and my dad becoming an underground Twitter hero, and the fact that we had UFC Fart, which was immediately put up and became a thing, and we had instant pictures and reactions to Silva's leg break. It was just a very good card to be a big Twitter user. There was a lot to really enjoy. I think, you know, the days of just sitting... Twitter, if anything, is going to be more responsible for people not going out to watch fights and just about anything. When you... you know, can have everything that you could want right in front of you, from reactions, you know, to, you know, fighters, famous people, your friends, I mean, your colleagues. So, Twitter really did. That was a good time to be on Twitter during those. The golden poop is absolutely Tamisha's game plan. It was the absolute shits. I mean, I make no bones about it. I don't like Ronda Rousey. I don't like her personally, and I was obviously pulling for Misha. Credit where it's due. Ronda did what she had to do, but it's also kind of easy when you keep charging in head down against a judo Olympic medalist, you dolt. For the love of God, switch things up. You know, Ronda is right. She's an Olympic medalist, and Ronda and Misha is a high school wrestler. Misha thought apparently she had the chops, and she got dispatched over and over and over again. Even when it didn't work, and even when she, by the grace of God, escaped a straight armbar attempt one time and rolled out of danger, she didn't learn her lesson. She kept trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and it eventually cost her. Nolan?
My golden family disrespect goes to Travis Brown. Everybody wrote him off before this fight, just like they did before the Overeem fight, and he... showed that his takedown defense is excellent in the sense that he just elbows your brains in when you try to shoot on him against the cage. Big credit to him beating a guy like Barnett, who was supposed to steamroll him in another aspect where he was supposed to be outmatched. Many said that he would be able to do fairly decent on the feet, unlike when he was against Overeem, and he beat Overeem on the feet, and he beat Barnett trying to take him down. So, you know, there's a lot of upside for him. For a guy who's not really that good at anything, allegedly, he has looked pretty damn good. Golden Poop, you know, I guess I have to take Barnett in that case. See, fight he should have won, Travis Brown murked him. He's going to... move down the ranks for a title shot. He's not necessarily in good favors with the UFC just because of history. So we'll see where he goes. A very disappointing night for him. And, you know, we'll see where his career goes from there. But he doesn't have that much many years on him. You know, he has a lot of mileage on his body, so we'll see what happens with him. But very disappointing.
Taylor?
With quick nods to a couple of guys that didn't get mentioned, like Jim Miller and Dustin Poirier, I'm going to give my golden family disrespect to Chris Leben, because it looks like this is pretty much it for him. The guy had an awesome run. Loved his career. He's been in the UFC for something like 8 years. I think that's how long it's been since Tough One. But yeah, it's clearly his time to be done. He didn't look good against Uriah. He didn't look good in his last fight against Andrew Craig. He's done, and he knows he's done, so... just basically saying thanks for a great career from Chris Leben. And my golden poop, I'm going to give to the UFC for a different reason than most people would think. After the fights, they gave out the bonus awards. Fight of the night was Rousey Tate, which was fair. Knockout was Brown, which was fair. And for whatever reason, they gave sub to Ronda Rousey over Jim Miller, which I found just ridiculous, considering that Jim Miller is facing a much higher, much higher level jiu-jitsu player than Rousey was. He's always been a company guy, and I just thought it was offensively stupid to not
got it in the first round.
And his sub was better too. He got that sub from a really weird angle. It did not look like there was any way he was going to get that, wrapping his arm around his own leg.
It looked similar to the submission, the way he had it torqued. It kind of looked a little similar to the one Pettis caught Henderson with, and which is why he couldn't stack him because it was also torquing his shoulder.
Ben, if you're back, you are welcome to your awards.
I'm sorry about that. I have Netscape 1.0. Anyway.
Still better than IE.
Yeah. Golden Family Disrespect. I would have to give it to... I mean, you got to give it to Chris Weidman. This basically, regardless of the outcome, and how it left a bad taste in mine and many others' mouths, it's still, you know, he beat the GOAT twice. You know, that's on his record. He's now officially, there's no questions anymore. He dominated when it was, you know, going normally. And he's the middleweight champion. He's already lined up for another big fight with Vitor Belfort. He's being talked about as one of the best in the world, pound for pound, and he should be. This is so money. And he made $400,000 plus probably pay-per-view points, plus I'm sure locker room bonus. God, the guy got probably made off easily seven figures. Golden Poop, Diego Brandão, you come in 8 pounds. First, before you even get on the scale, you tell Dustin Poirier you're going to cut his throat. First reason for Golden Poop.
I don't think that's legal in the cage. I need to go through the unified rules again.
Yeah, just flip through it if you can.
I've gone through them pretty specifically, and I have never seen anything in the rules explicitly prohibiting cutting up one's throat.
What if you cut him with a toothpick, like in your Benson Henderson?
I don't know. I feel like that might need to be written in the rules. Mistake number two, coming in 8 pounds overweight, okay, and then standing on the scale with your arms wide, saying, yeah, cheer me, I'm about to be overweight.
He tweeted that he made weight. I forgot that part.
And then he weighs in again at 151.5 at the end of the hour. So mistake number two for getting the Golden Poop. Mistake number three, you pissed off Poirier, and at the weigh-ins, apparently it's kind of his thing to psych you out. Jonathan Brooklyn's story is what I'm referring to. Mistake number four, going balls to the walls in the first minute because you know you don't have the cardio to last that long. And then you get finished by Dustin Poirier. This is a guy who the UFC wanted to push. He's a tough winner. He's clearly got skills and talent to make a run. He just needs to be able to put it together, and mentally he can't. Granted, he was in a car accident 2 weeks ago, but if you're in a car accident and it's going to affect you this much, pull out of the fight. Or at least tell the UFC about it so that they can figure out what to do.
And don't threaten to kill your opponent before the fight.
Too. That too. Don't threaten to kill your opponent. He's already a top six fighter.
That's more of a courtesy to your fellow man.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it has to be pointed out.
It's so ridiculous.
Don't be a murderer, you fucking murderer. Think about that before you murder someone.
And if you're going to threaten to kill somebody, win the fight. Don't get dropped. Don't get completely destroyed in one of the best finishing sequences I've seen since Nate Marquardt versus Tyrone Woodley, which was fucking awesome.
This was
on par with that because the transfer from headshots, body shots, lefts, rights, he just went all over. He just did not stop. And Poirier, by the way, one of the best offensive fighters in the UFC, in my opinion.
All right, boys, we are 2 days from 2013 being a wrap, putting it in the books, so we'll look back on it today. We'll look back on it again with a little more specific awards on our next broadcast. We'll keep it pretty broad today. Ben, who is your 2013 Fighter of the Year?
I want to not do the, you know, the obvious one, but it's how can you not say Chris
Marcelo Williams? Garcia. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
His name is Gracie, first of all. Get it right.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry. God.
Chris Weidman, he beat Henderson Silva twice in 1 year. I mean, you can't top that. You just can't. The guy's now one of the biggest potential stars in the UFC. He went from making 24-24 to 200-200 with pay-per-view points. And he finished the greatest of all time twice. So... Yeah, Chris Weidman. Sorry, Uriah. Faber, not Paul.
Sorry, Uriah Heep. Connor? You see, Ben, Uriah Heep is a musical act. I'm not gonna...
I didn't know that, actually, so you actually did have to explain that one to me.
One time, it's actually the case. For me, I just want to... I want to give a... Man, you know what? I think I want to give this to Alexander Gustafsson. Honestly, just his... I wonder if Nolan's freaking out now or not. But, like, just the fact that not a lot of people gave him a shot before Jones, and everyone was just writing him off and writing off all the promos about him being, you know, a size challenge to Jones. And then he comes out, and I rewatched the fight last night again, and I have him winning 3-2, and it just blows my mind that I don't know if... man, it just blows my mind that so many people were undercutting him, and he came out and challenged and arguably, to many people, beat Jones in the title fight. And what was the best light heavyweight title fight since Frank Shamrock, Tito Ortiz, I want to say.
Better than that, sure.
Yeah, it was better than that. And it was just
the best light heavyweight fight of all time.
Yeah, and so...
Wait, best light heavyweight fight or best light heavyweight title
fight? Title fight.
Okay.
Hendo Rampage was pretty good, too.
Yeah, but this was better. It hadn't...
All right, well,
I'll
calm down.
Better. And so I'm going to give it to Alexander Gustafsson. As a side note, it was really hard not to give it to European fighters in general because I felt they definitely made a wave in the headlines this year.
Just thank Christ he didn't give it to Conor McGregor. That being said, Conor just awarded his fight of the year to a fighter that was 0-1 in 2013. Interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays out for him.
Do you just call him Cotton?
He is very white, so...
I like his...
That's worth at least 4 wins.
But he's European, so it balances out. At least Conor's broadening his horizons. It's a European guy, so it's not, you know...
Conor's going on slave rules where black guy wins only have 3/5 of a win.
Well, yeah, Conor's really expanding his horizons.
There it is.
Really, his horizons with the Aryan dream, Alexander Gustafsson.
Conor likes two shades, white and ghost.
But he is from a country with socialized health care.
That's right. You pinko commie.
Yeah.
So Connor has the weirdest. Connor has the weirdest conflicted feelings right now. Weirdest boner.
I think I'm gonna have to kill myself right now.
Connor goes to the voting booth. He writes in Senator McCarthy. That's what he's doing.
What?
Joseph McCarthy?
No. Yes, Melissa McCarthy.
Governor Wallace.
I said Joseph, you idiot, and you don't get it.
McCarthy.
Okay. On that note. For Fighter of the Year, I think it's, you know, it's really stacked. Chris Weidman's a great choice. The entire cast of The Ultimate Fighter, China, Cain Velasquez. But the fighter, to me, when I look at their resumes, that stood out was Demetrius Johnson. I know this sounds kind of funny saying this now, but he had 3 successful title defenses. 2 of them were, like, absolutely dominant. 2 of them were finishes. He answered that question. He knocked out Joseph Benavidez, the number 2 in the division, and then the other win was over John Dodson that I didn't see anybody score the fight for Dodson, so these are 3 convincing victories for Demetrius Johnson, and when you count that they were all 3 championship fights, I think Demetrius Johnson is a pretty damn deserving dude for Fighter of the Year.
Dan, that might be the most cogent thing you've ever said.
Can I say one thing?
God, Dan.
I disagree with the Joseph Benavidez fight being dominance. He was losing the fight.
He knocked him out.
Wait, okay.
The fight was 2 minutes.
1 second. Would Robbie Peralta dominate Esteban Payan?
How dominant was Taylor Tooley? How dominant was Gerard Gordeaux and Taylor Tooley?
First of all, when
Taylor Tooley landed some good strikes in the beginning.
Listen to the awesome take, Ben. The Peralta fight, first off, was against Esteban Payan and was 2.5 rounds. Johnson Benavidez was against a clear number 2 fighter in the world and was 2 minutes.
I know. I'm just saying he wasn't dominating the fight up until the finish.
Up until he beat him within an inch of his life.
There was 2 minutes.
Pretty darn good.
Benavidez, no, Benavidez was winning the stand-up exchanges for the most part.
Oh, my God. It was 2 minutes!
It could have gone either way.
Doesn't matter. He's still 2 minutes of fighting. That was actually high pace.
That was all the way around.
It's unfortunate that Demetrius had to hit him so hard he knocked him out and didn't dominate the last 3 rounds, because now we'll never know if he really won the fight.
Let me tell you guys something.
God, now he's a fucking Dwayne Ludwig. Now he's a Dwayne Ludwig super fan.
Shut up.
Dude, like, seriously,
it's so clear what I meant, and you guys are just...
Dan says the most intelligent thing he's ever... Dan says the most intelligent thing he's ever said on any supercast, or will ever say on any supercast. and then Ben Cohn comes through and sends his Q rating into a fucking bottom of an outhouse.
I don't know, Ben. I really like Parash's head movement before he got...
This is like my 12th supercast, and you guys are amazed. I said something smart finally. It's awesome.
I just don't know how you guys could consider
absolutely
Anderson
winning the first 6 seconds before he got hit by Jimmo.
It's amazing. You guys, seriously, it's so clear what I said. And
I scored the first 6 seconds.
How is it not clear what I said?
It
was not clear what I said.
It was clear what you said. It's just idiotic.
No, it's not.
I was waiting for Golden to dominate
the fight.
Yes, he was losing the first 2 minutes of a 25-minute fight before he destroyed his opponent.
All right, forget it. Move along. If you guys want to be dicks, then just move along.
I want to break it down.
I would say that Anderson Silva...
Just move along. No.
Anderson Silva lost the first 40 seconds of the Forrest Griffin fight, too.
I was going to do Vitor Belfort, and then... Vitor Belfort, Anderson Silva. So
obviously, I had a different fucking meaning of dominating. Yeah. Dominating would be Anthony Parash if he won the fight against Vader after getting destroyed for 3 minutes of the first round. That would not be him dominating the fight. That'd be him making a win.
We love
winning,
you, Ben.
Winning, no, fuck you. Seriously.
You heard it from Ben Cohn. First round KOs.
I made a very simple point. I don't think he dominated the entire fight. He won by knockout. It was awesome. And he won with a beautiful counter right.
First round stiff as a board KOs.
All I said was he dominated the John Moraga fight and then finished him. He was even with Benavidez or maybe losing the stand-up exchanges and then got knocked out. Very clear point, and you guys all dipped out on me.
Would
seriously.
You say that Demetrius is being lazy by knocking out Benavidez? Connor, unmute him or you're fired.
He can fix it himself.
Should I go?
Yeah, Earl. Now that we have a pause.
Please.
I'm going to, not to continue my trend of going against what Ben Cohn said, I am going to give my 2013 Fight of the Year to Uriah Faber, because not only did he run through 4 straight wins, 3 of them were finishes, 3 submission finishes, Ivan Menjivar, Scott Jorgensen, Michael McDonald. These are, especially when it comes to McDonald, I mean, these are really good fighters. And Faber's been at this for a long time. He's very deep into his career, and to still be fighting at the level that he's fighting at right now, he did win 4 this year, Ben. He won 3 by finish.
So that doesn't count. He's only won 1.
So my 2013 Fighter of the Year is Uriah Faber and his beautiful chin.
Josh?
I've got to go along with Dan here. I think that you've got DJ and you've got Weidman, and then everybody else is, even Faber with the great year he had, is a step down. Demetrius took out the consensus 2 and 3 in the division, and if you go past 2 and 3, it's not even close. And he won he won the Dodson fight very convincingly. That Benavidez fight, it's questionable, but I mean, he did good. And... Weidman, I mean, obviously Weidman has to be up there because you beat Anderson Silva twice. That's just phenomenal. Everybody else is just after Rands this year.
Yes, my fighter of the year is your number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world today, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. I've been banging on that drum for a long time, and he did have an outstanding, outstanding year.
I'm agreeing with Ben Cohn, and not because he has my family at gunpoint right now, but but seriously, I do agree with Ben. Chris Weidman defeated Anderson Silva pound for pound. What more can you say? It's Weidman's year. should Flyweight have the... Once Mighty Mouse cleans out the Flyweight division, I'm willing to rank him, like, top three, just because of the lack of depth in Flyweight right now, but...
Wait, Nolan, before you... You say he hasn't wiped out the Flyweight division. Why, whomever do you mean is still around at 128 to pose a challenge to Demetrius Johnson?
John motherfucking Lineker.
Wouldn't get out of the second round.
Yeah, he wouldn't get out of the second round because he'd knock him out in the first. You're God, right. Thank you, Josh.
He'd be chasing Demetrius, and he'd either get himself knocked out with Demetrius' newfound power, or he'd end up on his back getting tapped out.
Are you allowed to bring a plate of Spanish rice into the octagon? I need to actually check that out, too. Review that.
He wouldn't need to chase him. Mighty Mouse would run right into those stones he calls fists. John Lineker's your new flyweight overlord.
Featherweight.
Right to a fistful of Biscotti.
He can fight in both divisions if he wanted to.
Was
flyweight or middleweight?
The Tomei fight or no? Was Lineker to rock before the Tomei fight or no? Like I haven't really seen that many of his fights. Thanks UFC for promoting.
Well, I don't know.
I know that a guy that gets technically submitted by Lewis Gaudino is a guy that I really consider a huge threat to Demetrius Johnson.
What?
Oh, literal Ben. He wasn't being serious.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
What the hell? Taylor?
I'm going to preface this by saying that I don't think that this is the fighter of the year, but you guys all gave up great options, so I'm just going to go a different route. I'm going to give it to Travis Brown, actually. Had he not torn his hamstring, he might be 16-0-1 right now. He finished three... Maybe not, Gonzaga might not be top 10, but three top heavyweights. He was a heavy underdog in two of those fights, and he finished the latter two guys in vicious fashion. And I don't...
Three knockout of the nights.
Yeah, and in my opinion, he's pretty much the undisputed number three in the division at this point. I don't think... You can't really sell me on Hunter or anybody over him right now, so...
Uh-oh. You don't also have either Verdum or Dos... Which one's he ahead of, Verdum or Dos Santos for three?
I have Dos Santos ahead of him.
Oh, you have Matt Verdum.
Yep.
Okay.
Also, for what it's worth, and if anybody wants to contribute, my boxer of the year, Adonis Stevenson, my kickboxer of the year, Rico Verhoeven.
Timothy Bradley is my boxer of the year.
No, for Christ.
Yeah, Andy Goletko.
You know, actually, I think we can all agree with Rico Verhoeven.
I was actually going to go with Andy Risty. Maybe it's just the fact that I'll
take
still
Golovkin for boxer of the year.
Yeah, I was with Josh there.
Who?
Golovkin.
You'd be number two.
I love
that guy. Excuse me, I'm going to go Danny Garcia instead, actually.
Let's do Amir Khan for somehow.
Actually, if you do want to go with Andy Risty, that's not a bad train to be on.
Yeah,
he was.
No.
He was.
Again,
you can say that, but the only thing again that sullies that is Giorgio's paper mache hand that broke again in the first round. But he did go 5-0, wins over Krauts, Petrosian, Van Roosmalen. He went 5-0, all five wins in glory.
Have the coolest names. Just saying.
Yeah, no, like, really I definitely, I was really impressed, and maybe it's just the fact that his knockout win over Petrosian is still fresh in my mind, but, yeah, to me, he has to be, to me, the kickboxer of the year.
The guy I like for kickboxer of the year, and it might be because he's fresh in my memory, would be Nicky Holskin. You know, he won that tournament, and to me, he just looked at, like, a total another level than everybody else in the field.
Yeah.
That left hook was so sweet. What kind of hurts Verhoeven's stock for me is the fight against Peter Arts. It's probably a little too close. But, I mean, it's Verhoeven, it's Risty, and it's Holskin. I think those are your top three, and can't go wrong with any of them.
Let's not pretend Arts doesn't have anything left. He clearly had some fight left in him, and it's Peter Arts. Come on. You know?
Just like how Joseph Benavidez landed four significant strikes, and I did look it up. He was very dominant in the early going. I have to admit.
Four?
I just don't understand how you just count the 2013 K-1 World Grand Prix for Mirko Krokop, you guys. I mean,
oh my God, yeah.
But didn't he like have a really easy field in one of the fights he should have lost?
Jesus Christ, Ben.
It was a joke.
I know. I'm just saying. Let's still talk about his run. He had a 6-0 kickboxing run.
You see, Ben.
It's funnier when Luke does it.
Thank you, Ben. You're a mensch. All right, on from Fighter of the Year, let's get to Fight of the Year for 2013. Ben, and you're not allowed to say Johnson Benavides too.
Gustafson and Jones is clearly, in my opinion, the Fight of the Year. It's got all the significance of the fact that it's a title fight, so it's got the significance factor. It has the momentum shifts that you always want to see in a great fight. It has awesome technical displays. And it was pretty crazy brawling at times, too. It had less brawling than Hunt Silva, and a lot more technical. It was a lot more technical, but it was also really violent. It was almost as violent as Silva and Hunt, and it showed off everything you want to see in a great MMA fight: grappling, clinch work, takedowns, awesome striking at every single range, you know. And it was really, really awesome to see. I really loved that fight, and it showed a comeback for the champion to win the fight. You know, down on scorecards going into the fourth, and it was awesome. It was really, really awesome, and I love that fight. So I'm going to definitely give it to Jones Gustafson.
Connor?
When you first asked this question, I originally was going to go with Rousey versus Carmouche, just because of the historical significance of the match itself, the lead into it. I thought it was a great match, but I also knew that Luke would kill me, so I think I'm actually going to go with one that I watched with my own eyes. And, Diego Sanchez versus Gilbert Melendez, to me, was the fight of the year. It did not have
the
best
technique. You are all that is wrong with the world.
Okay, before you go on, let me finish with what I was going to say, and then I'm going to respond to your article. Just watching it, being in the arena, I know why Joe Rogan was saying everything that he said. Now, I've rewatched it since then, and it wasn't necessarily the best technical fight, and there's enough excitement in there to keep me standing on my feet live, but I honestly did not think that Joe Rogan said too much, because I was there live and I knew how the crowd felt, and I did not think he ever said anything at all, to be honest. So,
Daniel?
Yeah, this year was freaking awesome when it comes to fights. Like, there's probably about 7 or 8 fights that you can make a legitimate case. The two you guys just said are great, great fights. And I certainly don't disagree. But one fight that's kind of going a little under the radar that I really loved.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Are you going middleweight or lightweight?
Lightweight.
Okay, I'm going middleweight. The fight this is the one I had, was Brett Cooper, Alexander Shlemenko. And I really loved this fight. It was 25 minutes of nonstop action. I mean, these two dudes went at it. I had no idea this was going to happen. And very similar to the Gustafson Jones fight in that I was really selling Brett Cooper short the same way I was selling Gustafson short. And he came out and he put Shlemenko in serious danger. This fight took me by. It was so damn good. I couldn't believe it. And then we had Gustafson Jones later in the month, and that may have been the better fight. But I just want to mention this Shlemenko-Brett Cooper fight. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's 25 minutes of why MMA is awesome, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Alex Shlemenko is why MMA is awesome.
Absolutely, dude.
But if you're going to watch the fight, somehow try and do it in a way that doesn't support Bellator, because fuck Bjorn Rebney.
Yes.
He seems like a good individual.
Somehow do it. I don't know if you can do it, but try.
Stupid jerk giving jobs to hundreds of fighters and jerk.
I think he's nice man.
Yeah. For he's a jolly good. Yeah, all right, go ahead, Earl.
I really wish you would have finished that.
Fight of the year is Jones Gustafson. Undoubtedly. Like was stated earlier, it's the best light heavyweight title fight in the history of the division. It was unreal. Like, you know, the reach promos and all that stuff was so corny and ridiculous. But then, like, after the first round was over, you know, it was like it was like, man, this is really, like, this is actually close, and this is a good fight. And then it just kept building and kept building and getting more amazing. And, you know, for Gustafsson to go in there and put on the performance that he did, even in defeat, which he did lose, but to go out there and to push Jones like that, and for Jones to show so much heart to get through that, when he was lumped up something horrible, you know, that was the fight of the year for me.
Josh?
I got to go with Hunt and Bigfoot. That fight just... Yeah, I know, Nolan, I'm sorry. But that fight was just... It just had that special feel that very few fights give me anymore. You know, you had a technical battle for the first couple of rounds, as much of a technical battle as you're going to have for heavyweights, especially. And then the heart in the last two rounds, it's just... That's what I love about the sport, when two guys are just giving everything they have with no regard to getting knocked out or anything of the sort. They're just going all out, trying to do anything they can to win and put on a show. And I think it's the best heavyweight fight of all time, so that's my winner.
Very, very, very seldomly do rematches measure up to the first, between, and especially when you have a contest between two fighters who are absolute equals in every step, that are just lockstep with each other. I compare it to Flair and Steamboat, or maybe in ROH, Danielson and McGuinness. Two guys that are just joined at the wrist and just trading everything that they have, and they're so equally matched, and they're so perfect for each other. That's why, to me, just the theater of watching Chandler and Alvarez is my fight of the year. Just for, it was not a letdown. It was absolutely fantastic. Again, maybe just a step below their fight from 2012. And it was just, like I said, just maybe a step below. But just the fact that these two, for all we know, might be the number one and number two lightweights in the world, just plying their trade as the unquestioned best, you know, in Bellator, and just, like I said, they're just lock and step equals. Every strike had a counter. Every hold had a reversal. It was just beautiful to watch. Like I said, it was just, you know, it to me, like I said, watching the actual theater of it unfold and knowing the backstory, it was beautiful to watch for me.
Despite Luke's favorite rematch being John Cena versus The Rock 2 this year, I'm sure it will come as great surprise to everyone to hear me pick Hunt versus Bigfoot as my fight of the year. No. Obviously, I was very emotionally invested in it, for one. Two, it was a battle of technique, despite... Well, most people will say that, yes, it did turn into a sloppy brawl rounds 3, 4, and 5, but there were some great moments where Hunt was dominating the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt on the ground. There were moments when Bigfoot Silva was rocking Mark Hunt, the K-1 champion, on the feet. It showed improvement from Hunt, who, you know, again, former K-1 champion, being on top and being able to hang with Bigfoot, and Bigfoot doing what I mentioned. Great display of heart, great display between two of the top heavyweight fighters in the world. Great narrative, great crowd atmosphere in Australia, electric. And something, of course, it surpassed expectations, which is a very big criteria for fights, in my opinion. If something surpasses your expectations, when you expect a first-round knockout or submission, and for them to go that hard for that long, absolutely fantastic. My fight of the year, a fight I will never, ever forget.
I'm going to give mine to Dennis Bermudez and Matt Grace. It's earlier in the year, and so that, along with Stan Vanderlei, kind of get forgotten easily, but it was an outstanding fight between two kind of mid-level 145ers. If I remember correctly, Grace got the mount like 30 seconds into the fight, had him in the mounted crucifix, beat the living shit out of him for the rest of the round, and then second round was awesome action. Third round, Dennis Bermudez came back and almost finished Grace. Like, outstanding fight. It might not have had the narrative that some of the other ones might have, but it was just, as far as pure action goes, I think it's quite easily the fight of the year.
Another thing, too, that I want to add to that is afterwards, Matt Grice got rear-ended and was put in the hospital and has recently gotten part of his skull reattached to his head, which I just want to say thoughts go out to him and the healing process for him.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, as we look back, now let's look ahead. Kind of an off prediction here, because you're not exactly sure how the year is going to play out, especially in this crazy world of mixed martial arts where, you know, the world of injuries and staff infections and car accidents, really, you know, there's... You never know how it's going to turn out.
Maybe and you sometimes, don't speak for the rest throat of us.
Sorry.
And sometimes throat cutting.
But throat cutting, really, it's a tough world out there. Who... If you had to look in your crystal ball, would be the 20? Who would you predict that 2014 Spider of the Year would be? Besides Deontay Wilder.
Shut up.
That one's for Nolan. All right.
There's a lot of things going on, but I mean, if Jones can beat Glover and Gustafson, and then move up to heavyweight in the next year and fight and win against Cain Velasquez, I would say that would obviously be the fighter of the year. So if I had to pick one guy, it would probably be Jones because of the potential to move up and take the title in the next division. So I would say Jones for more potential significant accomplishment.
Connor?
Clearly, it's got to be Ryhall because he's fast, explosive, athletic, and he's going to be doing big things. 2014, Mars the limit.
Funny because you're kind of because Hall has more wins than your 2013 Fighter of the Year.
Surprisingly, let's ignore that.
Oh no, I don't think so.
Yes, let's ignore all semblance of logic.
So I actually think the 2014 Fighter of the Year will wind up being Nurmagomedov, and I hope I mispronounce his name. I think if they actually sign the fight with Melendez, even if he doesn't win, he's going to do pretty damn well. If he does win, he'll probably get a title
what
shot.
What are you giving?
What?
You're like giving Fire of the Years to guys who will. He might not win, so.
No,
you know,
I'm just.
But he'll still be Fire of the
I
Year.
I changed my 2013 Dude. Fighter of the Year to Chris Lieben.
Oh, all right, God. So like the reason why I'm saying that is even if he loses to Melendez, it'll be a good fight, and then he's going to come back and he'll fight some other top contenders, and it'll still be a good fight. Like, that's what I'm saying. And I think he'll win enough to actually get a title shot. And depending on if the title holder is Pettis or some other guy, I like his chances against every top 10 lightweight. Like, that's what I'm saying.
I'm changing my Fighter of the Year pick to Matt Grice because he put on an amazing fight.
All right, Ben, we get it. You like making fun of people who got rear-ended by drunk drivers.
God.
What the hell?
What is wrong with you?
God.
So many Connor things.
Takes you a little bit too far.
Have you heard about Huey Lewis in the news?
Here.
Okay, listen.
Adrian Boner.
Thank you for saving Kenneth Allen for me, Connor. I appreciate that.
Very nice.
I'm a person that... I don't know about you guys, but I stay tuned in to the MMA beat, one of the reporters that I follow very closely. I would consider him family. If somebody insulted him, it would be insulting my family. Klima Pisanha is a real good journalist. He has Oben St. Peru ranked as number 6 light heavyweight. Big upside potential. Derek Brunson, big career-defining win over the 4-0 Brian Houston. He's number 7 at middleweight, so either one of those guys would be good choices. But I tell you what, I'm going to deviate. I'm gonna not take this baptism, and I will. My fighter of the year will go Jose Aldo because I think he has a real opportunity. I think a key to winning fighter of the year is activity, and he's got a fight schedule in February against Ricardo Lamez, and after that fight. There's several legitimate contenders. He'll likely face Frankie Edgar in the year, as well as maybe Chad Mendes or Cub Swanson.
And I have a feeling that Jose Aldo is really rearing to have an impressive year, as well as being active and staying away from the injury bug. So I expect Jose Aldo to get three really convincing championship wins, very similar. I don't know, Ben, if you would call it dominant, but very similar to Demetrius Johnson. So my pick would be Jose Aldo, with an honorable mention going to the winner of the women's strawweight Ultimate Fighter. I think they'll get a lot of momentum off of that, and if they have one successful title defense, she'll get some buzz. But my pick would be Jose Aldo.
Do you think he'll move up?
Jose Aldo, maybe, but he has so many challengers stacked. I think if he moves up, it'll be in 2015.
You think they'll give him Edgar again?
I think so.
If he beats BJ?
Yeah, I think
will.
So.
To try to
they will. I mean, it'd be hard to sell that because BJ's not exactly on a tear.
But Edgar arguably
that means nothing Jose to Aldo. Casual fans.
He didn't arguably beat Jose Aldo.
Edgar makes sense, so Aldo can avenge his loss.
And Edgar's going to be on a high-profile season of The Ultimate Fighter as well. He's going to have some buzz. And
so
then you got the winner.
100,000 viewer season of The Ultimate Fighter?
No. I have a feeling that this is going to have a lot of momentum with the inclusion of the women's strawweight division and a motivated BJ Penn. So
scariest thing in the world.
One thing I will say, he's already lost in a massive amount of weight. I don't know if you saw that picture.
He's down to 212.
Yeah, about.
He could fight John Lineker. That's great.
He weighs a little bit less than me now, and I'm at 203. I think
and
he's 198.
Completely off topic, I'd love to see Cub Swanson fight Chad Mendes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Earl?
The 2014 Fighter of the Year will be Henan Barrow, because he will take Dominic Cruz apart again.
What?
Just like Dominic Cruz has taken himself apart so many times over the last 2.5 years.
There it is.
And he is.
Just say he's going to pull the cadaver out of his leg and beat him with it. You know you want to.
I don't think he will. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know. The cadaver's gone already, so.
Dominic Cruz had a cadaver in his leg. Took him over.
What?
Took what it out of his leg and beat him over the head with it.
He didn't have enough.
So what's going to happen?
Henan Barrow is going to run. He might even get on top of his wife.
He has a whole cadaver strapped
to his leg. Or Ian McCall's wife.
Who hasn't been on top of Ian McCall's wife?
I need to move to another country because no one in this country will pay me after what's happened today.
By
association to offensive jokes.
Oh, no,
are
done.
You done? Are you done?
Josh.
Okay. 2014 Fighter of the Year is going to be Johnny Hendricks. He is going to put his stamp on the welterweight division. He's going to do it violently. And if it's not him, it's going to be Ronda Rousey. Those are the only two options.
Yes, she's going to put
After she wins the Olympian versus Olympian battle and then maybe takes out Kat Zingano and Alexis Davis, it's going to be hard to make an argument against.
It's going to be hard for Hendricks to win Fighter of the Year when Condit beats him again.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, Josh, Carlos Condit.
Yeah, no.
Carlos Condit.
No.
Condit?
Nope.
Carlos? Con.
He did lose Johnny Hendricks.
It's going to suck when Rousey leaves the UFC for direct-to-DVD movies.
She'll still be making more than she would.
The Marine 6.
I can't wait to see her in Wrong,
the Marine
wrong,
6. This time,
Wrong Side of Town 2 with Dave Bautista and Rob Van Dam again.
Ronda Rousey is Cannonball Run 5.
Precious 2 starring Ronda Rousey.
If I had a... I'm not even sure who that's offensive towards.
Just the world, man.
My safe bet for 2014 Fight of the Year is DJ.
Yeah.
He's gonna stay active. No one's gonna come near him, and he'll walk out of 2014 as still a dominant champion with two or three more notches on his belt. My risky pick for 2014 Fight of the Year is Chad Mendes. If he can get to Aldo, and if he can beat him, that will be an unbelievable achievement, as no one's come close. So if there's one guy at the featherweight that can do it right now, like I said, I know Mendes was sick against Lance, and even though Lance is a tough, tough dude, it's not, he shouldn't have probably ran right through him. But Mendes is still a monster right now, and he's only getting better. So, safe pick, Demetrius Johnson. Risky pick, Chad Mendes. Yes, Earl.
Who do you see them matching up with?
Shut up, Earl.
Do you think if Chad Mendes beats Aldo, do you think he's going up to 155?
Aldo or Mendes?
Aldo.
Yes. I could absolutely see that happening. 155, though, that's they got a lot of spoons in that pot. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be kind of worked out there. You got, you know, Pettis, you know, TJ, don't forget, TJ Grant's still chilling somewhere on his special orthopedic pile of cash pillow, waiting to get back into the fray. It's a really messed up division. You know, Thompson's out, Grant's out, Pettis is out. Bendo's lurking in there somewhere waiting for a shot. It's going to be very strange there. So he might just try to get, you know, another rematch with Mendes and try to get his belt back if that happens. I'm sorry, Ben, what was your question?
Who do you see them matching up Johnson with in the next year that would be like legitimate title fights? Because right now he's already, I mean,
if Pickett beats McCall,
John Johnson.
If Pickett beats McCall.
Yeah, I was about to say, Pickett is like the only person I can see.
When Pickett beats McCall, I can see that happening.
Alf?
If Bogatinov beats Lineker, or if Lineker comes in and makes weight, if Lineker makes weight and finishes Bogatinov, he's going to get it. But that's a Sisyphusian task,
not
apparently.
Happen.
Mm-hmm. But there are some options there. They're not, you know, like they're not really super attractive, like Dodson or Benavidez, but they're there.
That's why I can't like think of him as the fighter of the year, because I think that a couple of his title fights will be not so great, because, you know, Lineker is like an easy style matchup for him.
You'll have another bantamweight that'll try to drop down, like someone like Wineland, I think. Because there's a lot of bantamweights that are kind of in the middle of the pack, as if bantamweight has a crap ton of gatekeepers. But, yeah, like I said, I think there are going to
so
be some interesting...
Right, lightweight has a lot of them also. Lightweight's a mess, you're right. Like, think about it. They have T-Bow, Lozon, Miller... Yar.
Who?
What?
Oh, okay, gatekeepers, sorry.
Yeah, gatekeepers. They just have like a lot of gatekeepers. Dunham also is a gatekeeper at this point, I would say. You know, it's like five or six gatekeepers.
Well, I mean, it is the deepest division. I mean, proportionately, bantamweight should not have as many middle-of-the-road gatekeepers as they should,
because
it's a lot, smaller than
so
lightweight.
I think it's because there are so many contenders that have fought for the title already or have, like, fought each other at this point that there's really nowhere for them to go, because we have a clear understanding of who ranks where at this point, you know? So... I think it's that they're gatekeepers, just that we know their limits and we know where they stand for the most part. And there's no...
There's also a lot of talent at 125 that's outside the UFC.
That's true. That's very true as well. You know, but with these young divisions, it's hard to really gauge where they're...
Let's get fun size with one more win, and let's slide him right in there.
He probably could get a title shot conceivably in
2014?
Yeah, for sure.
I can see that. Give him, like, the Pickett-McCall winner or the, you know, the Bogatinov-Lineker winner, and there you go.
That'd be a fun fight.
Taylor.
I'm going to do the same thing as Luke did, where I give two. My safe but incredibly vague pick is whoever finishes the year as the welterweight champion, whether it be Hendricks, Condit, or Waller, or Woodley, I guess, whatever. But I think, seriously, I was going to go with Condit, but then everybody would call me on being a fanboy. I think whoever...
Condit.
Oh, Hendricks or Condit?
Lost to Hendricks.
Whoever.
I love how Josh just sneaks that in there.
I tell you, Josh doesn't throw many, but he makes them count like hell when he does.
I think out of Hendricks and Condit, whoever stays the champion until the end of the year should be a huge star, because they're both incredibly personable and incredibly exciting fighters. And my risky pick is Cisco Rivera. I think he got a fairly winnable fight for him against Asansao. I think he could land a pretty big shot, and then he'd be a fight away from the title, in my opinion. So, theoretically, he could get to the title, and I think that if he lands the right shot, he can knock out Burrell.
Can knock out anybody. All right. Last question while I have you here. Do you guys see in this...
I get a Fighter of the Year pick?
I was wondering, because I saw...
I'm sorry. You're only half a man because you're on a phone. Sorry, Nolan. Who is your
not on a phone? Jesus.
Oh. Listen, I don't know what kind of wizardry you're pulling there. Some smoke and mirrors.
I'm making that undercard superstar money. I can afford 20 computers if I want to. Oh,
damn.
Wow. Yeah. Fighter of the Year. Aside from Adrian Broner's inevitable title comeback run, my sleeper is actually Bobby Green. I really like Bobby Green. I think he's going to make a decent shake at lightweight. He looked very good against Pat Healy, who should have ground him down into the mat and tapped him with ease, and he looked fantastic against him. I can see him hanging around the top 10 of lightweight, but that, you know, that's my risky pick. I think the sure bet is obviously Sarah McMahon.
Cash money.
Sarah McMahon, when she grounds out and rids the sport of MMA from its terrible cancer that is growing upon it.
This is such a bad matchup for her. The Alexis Davis fight's the one to watch when that happens. And they booked her and I for the same card, so if there's an injury, there's a fill-in already, ready to go.
Rousey, who stands up when she can't get the armbar.
Move number one, armbar. Move number two. She has Dean Malenko's list of 1,004 holds.
Arm.
1,002 of them are judo throws. The other two are arm bars.
I think Bobby Green's biggest weapon is probably people being afraid to get near him because they don't want to get kicked in the dick. You know, I think that's a huge plus for his game.
You know, if that's what it takes.
He's got that Czech Congo thing going on for him.
It kept me away from my dad, I tell you that much.
Oh my God.
And on that note, we are going to sign off because we're not going to get anything better than that. We will be back later this. We'll be back later this week to talk a little bit more about 2013 in review. Look forward to UFC Singapore, and look forward a little more past that stunning card that is UFC in Singapore. On behalf of these goobers, later.